Hello and welcome back to Blacker Couch Reviews. I'm your host, Christina. We're back for the second episode of The Boondocks, The Trial of R. Kelly.
You were the clock that was ticking in my home. Changed my state of mind.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Love so hard to find.
We got
story by Aaron McGruder. Screenplay by Rodney Barnes. Directed once again by Anthony Bell. Adam West guest stars as R. Kelly's lawyer, R.I.P. He did a fantastic job of being the Johnny Cochran of it all, considering that man is never to see the outside of a jail cell, at least he should not. This is very interesting to look back on because there was a situation where not this exact, but in the generalized sense, the trial of public opinion, how R. Kelly's continued crimes were ignored by the community that supported him with this very open secret. I knew when I was 13, because of Aaliyah, I was obsessed with her. I used to try to dress up like her all the time, RIP as well. And when I found out that R. Kelly was her husband and married her at 14, I was like, what?
This is not okay.
The exploration of how our culture is divided on certain topics and how they very, I think, bluntly state some of the criticisms, but also highlight a lot of the overtones of growth. It's so really well done and comedic, and I loved watching this episode, so I gave it a 10 out of 10. Before we get into the review, wherever you listen to this podcast, wherever good podcasts can be found, go down to the rating section, drop some stars, leave a review. My social media will be there as well. Like, share, subscribe. And if you want to send feedback, blackercouch@gmail.com, or you can leave a comment below. Something Black people have known for a couple of years now, especially in these times in which many are now supporting a certain candidate that don't even like them, niggas are crazy. In the last 4 years, it's definitely not a secret to the white populace, as Riley points out. Chris Rock had made it very publicly known that there were two types of melanin almost 2 decades ago with the African American community, Black people versus niggas, and niggas gotta go. And yes, they don't like us talking about this in public because white people might be listening. But due to Twitter, it's out the bag. And the reason why, in case my white sisters and brothers are listening, why it's such a, or was for a very long time, this underground conversation is because the white media especially will use this disparity to further divide us. Not only the media, well, certain other groups with their agendas, let's just put it like that. However, there is certainly a hunkering down of the battle stations now that there's more platforms, more accessible places where people can find their particular niche or the voice that reflects best on their own thoughts in their head. And so it's more transparent. They're watching on TV the Bobby and Whitney spectacle, the once respected Whitney Houston, who stood by her man, which is a very Black trope, right? that no matter what the black man does, we do not divorce the black woman. Like, it's her position to ride or die and all that shit, even if he's smacking you in the middle of the fucking courtroom. What happened to Whitney was unfortunate, because she got with a nigga. And she jumped down that nigga-dom rabbit hole, displayed by a lot of her behavior, unfortunately, leading up to her ill-timed demise. She said, hell to the nah, Bobby didn't hit me.
What is the five fingers? Say to the face!
What?
Slap! But like Beyonce, they both wanted that, they're attracted to that bad boy hood side, because they particularly never grew up under that. They grew up as a black person, not allowed to. And that's kind of in my household. That's why I'm kind of speaking to it, because I know from personal experience with three other sisters who I watched during their dating cycles. And it was very clear that, especially as we were teased a lot about the way we spoke properly, the way we were not allowed to use the N-word, the way we were not, my mom was very clear that we were not, despite her inwardly like being, going to be outside this house acting like the stereotypical N-word. So when my sisters went out to date, they definitely, the first couple of boys was nothing but hood boys. They got them into a lot of stuff that was not organic to how they were raised, and the influences that feeling the need to be more authentically black, which is something that's brought up in this episode as well. Some shit is so obvious. It's like, why the fuck are we even in denial? It's exactly why P. Diddy's alleged crimes are yesterday's news to most black people. But instead of having these conversations about the two diverging crossroads our ancestors are traversing, BET, the Black Entertainment Network, has nothing but hip-hop countdowns and videos that don't leave much of anything to the imagination.
Just shake that ass, bitch, and let me see what you got. Just shake that ass.
Despite Granddad enjoying himself, even he had to change it. It's like, this is effectively becoming porn. There's nothing left to the imagination. Granddad was liking it at first on my booty, 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 but then it became porn. At least Black Gambino attempted artistry in his. Then the news reveals R. Kelly is on trial again for giving a girl a golden shower, something Grandpa doesn't understand the euphemism for, to Huey's delight, as he declares he would love a golden shower himself. I felt bad for him, but I felt it on a I must be getting old level as well, because someone just told me what Kiki is. And I heard it in a sentence at first and didn't know what it meant. So, yeah, it's not always easy keeping up with all of the lingo. Though, I must say, in the context, sir, you should have known if it's why he's on trial, that it definitely wasn't something you would consent to. The trial is coming to their city, where he will have to answer for his continuous long history of child pornography and sexual acts against minors. Mind you, it still took some decades for this motherfucker to be prosecuted by the law. Huey asked to be driven into town to watch the trial. He said, hell no, but you can walk. It's 40 miles. All that damn money I spent on Nikes, you better just do it. Here I am having flashbacks again, because that's exactly what my mother's response would be to me anywhere I asked for a ride. And why adults can't stand to spend money on their own kids, like it's something they, like the inconvenience of needing to buy you things that you decided was within your budget. Nobody told you to get these Nikes. I may have wanted these Nikes, but if you could not afford these Nikes, then I'm pretty sure you could have just said no. But because you know you can't afford it, but you would have preferred to spend that money on something you wanted, that's why you're mad. And so then you punish your children for that. That's not good. We got to, the Black community is bad on that with our parenting. Thomas Dubois, or is it Dubois? Their neighbor is representing the prosecution where there is so much evidence it's laughable, including a videotape of R. Kelly urinating on said minor, available and advertised to go watch on a website, even though that's also child pornography. It's like, get your short ass back here. I'm gonna go check my email. Yeah, my email. As they head into town, the boys, Mr. Dubois stops them, which he should have known not to ask the little nigglet in training with a sign that clearly indicates he needs to be in a class that can handle his dyslexia. Very quickly, Huey goes on the offense to Dubois' defense, which is just clear reasoning, common sense about how the law defines when peeing on someone is a crime versus a kink. And whether or not the minor involved was complicit or non-consenting or consenting, I should say. Never mind that the minor cannot consent. But we all know in America, Black girls aren't seen the same way, especially when it comes to sexual maturity, as, say, Caucasian girls who are considered to be more innocent. And this is not something that's an old idea. This is a very long-standing traditional. It's why a lot of Black women and others, because I was watching this this cut where this one white guy, he was talking about how he prefers Black women, but the question was about fetishizing, and he says, well, I don't think that's a fetish to prefer one over another. I just happen to find one more attractive, which is a very basis for a lot of argument I've had to deal with being attracted to white men. Doesn't mean I don't find Black men or brown men. I mean, if Dave Patel walked in right now, you best believe I'd be all over that in a hot second. I mean, I made out in a club with I'm not even sure if he was Indian or Pakistani. I don't know. But there is, I can't acknowledge or not acknowledge that ever since I was a child, ever since I had sexual attraction, that I had always felt myself more sexually attracted to white men. And to say that openly is to have a label slapped on you and it be put down in a negative trait, especially by Black women, who should be more open, in my humble opinion, to the idea of open racial relationships, because Black women are the least open to that idea. Because in their minds, white men have been told that Black women are more sexualized beings. And so to be attracted to them is to be attracted to that type of racial philosophy is unfair. And I think that, and I like the response I got by making a comment under the video about it, because a lot of people also do feel the same way. Like, why can't we normalize that, like anyone, like any other normalized simple organic attractive traits? You know, some people are more attracted to blondes, some people are more attracted to lighter people, some people are more attracted to darker people. Some people are just more open. All of it is subjective and not like how we don't kink shame. We should not be, I mean, but kink shame, I always say, as long as it's not hurting anybody. But if it's hurting someone, Yeah, it's not kink shaming. It's you're engaging in lewd acts. Huey ain't done yet. He said, I see piss coming. I move. I liked his, Riley, who is absolutely on the side of the black people, can't believe the 8-year-old disassembled Dubois' entire defense based on an assault of irrelevant but thinly veiled facts to eradicate the very real crime committed. It's definitely how a lot of people argue online. It's why I refuse to engage. If R. Kelly goes to jail, I'll piss on your cat. Meanwhile, Ruckus and Grandpa playing checkers in the park, where Ruckus continues to extol the gift that continues to give, which is the white man. Which is ridiculous when it comes to foliage, because we all know the Mexicans make that shit work.
I'm a thought. I'll own it. I'm not ashamed.
I lived in a neighborhood where I was the only black neighbor in a group of Mexicans, and let me tell you something, they make that shit work. They are the most industrious motherfuckers I've ever seen. He said, we're them nappy head grandkids. Why we always was nappy headed? R. Kelly certainly isn't the only man in history to shockingly have underage relations with babies, which is very conveniently glossed over depending on who you are, such as, yes, Jerry Lee Lewis, the king of rock and roll. Speaking of, Elvis Presley. Unfortunately, we gotta acknowledge our motherfuckers too. Prince, he was out there. He was dating people at 16. Michael Jackson, he was always weird though, so that doesn't surprise me. Rick Springfield, Dane Cook, Brad Pitt. Yeah, Juliette Lewis and Christina Applegate were 17 when he started dating them. That's still minor age. Maybe not quite at the baby status, but certainly at the I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, and I'm certainly not an adult in the eyes of the law yet. Luke Besson, who did Leon, yeah, that's why he did that movie, because he was into a 12-year-old. Makes sense. Don't know why people still praise that film. Haven't gotten over the fact that he was pressing a relationship between a very minor child and an adult-ass man. David Bowie, Iggy Pop, Marvin Gaye, Chuck Berry. The list goes on so long that it is pretty much why there's a $1 billion sex trafficking industry and more people continue to be prosecuted in the eyes of the law for being involved in this $1 billion business that is going to want these young girls for exactly what they've always represented. Chocolate Monkey, sir, that situation was different. He said it was family. This is why rich white families are always unhappy as fuck, though. Once the boys get to the courthouse, it's very evident who has the most support as activist, doctor, and lawyer. All three are on one side versus the other, which is full of barbecues and ignorance. Supporting R. Kelly because he good. And one of them, and they tired of uppity, literate black people attempting to change them because they don't want to feel unauthentic to what has become a shameful stereotype. Because I think that to say that this is our authentic self would be a lie. This is a part of the culture we've created, but it's also based on the poorest and most neglected parts of our society. The sad thing is we kind of losing the war too, us black people, because the old network is full of Tyler Perry trash drama with his underlying deep hatred of black women. The BET network continues to put out the same dramas. We don't put out any content that, or any content that's put out by us has to be, if it wants to be successful, marketed towards those that are going to watch, and that is, unfortunately, that part of our society. Nobody want to hear that shit. And this is what the white masses record, and it's displayed on every news outlet as a holistic representation of the entire culture to the 40 other states without any black references to compare to. They approach the urban youth, known as Riley, who says, if P coming at me, you either A, smile and ask for more, or B, move the hell out of the way. And here comes the shout outs, along with any reason to start shit popping off, as R. Kelly. Well, R. Kelly showed up, but Riley was trying to drag his problem brother away. Big Mama with a wing in her hand, pushing folks out of the way to catch hands.
I'm 100% nigga. Nigga, 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 nigga. I'm 200% nigga. That's a huge bitch.
Yeah, no, if you walk in like you need insulin every hour, I think that you got cankles, not ankles, and you dress like that, that is, ooh, and you know people like that too. You be like, no, no, you do not rep me, not even a little bit. That's when R. Kelly showed up to say something completely unintelligible, which causes his peers to cheer because someone has you spelled Y-U on a poster, and that says it all. Back at the park, Robert got jokes. What did OJ say to Kobe after the trial? Don't let this put you off, white women. It's crazy, both are no longer on this planet. And gotta say, a cheater doesn't compare to if I did it because I did. Ruckus believes a white man's court is the only way to handle niggas, recalling a time he was on a jury in Tennessee in 1957, all white jury. He's the only black man on the jury, and a blind man was accused of killing three children with a Winchester, and he was the first to not even deliberate, declare him guilty. Hang him right now. I got the rope right here.
I am disgusted.
It's these types of coons that are a danger to us all. For real, for real. And I've also had this experience. This one woman, I don't even call her a woman, but yeah, she was just ill. She looked ill. And for some reason, she just hated herself. She hated her blackness. Maybe that's why she let all the dandruff run off in her hair. To the fact that we can see it on her fucking forehead all the goddamn time, which is why I'm like, bitch, you gonna put a net on? Because you ain't coming near this food with that shit on your forehead. That's what's not gonna happen. She had this, ugh. I mean, she really was really hateful of all things black. But she was the darkest black woman I've ever seen. Darker even than I. And I just couldn't understand it. Mr. Dubois knows his case is procedural considering the evidence, but Riley warns he's underestimating the extent in which niggas love R. Kelly, meaning they're willing to turn a blind eye. Because what he does for them or represents to the community and other places and cases is more important than what he's done. Which is basically what the trial hangs on. The defense, a white lawyer at that, uses history's own predilection for indulging in acts with minors and still being considered great as an allegory for the same acts in which his client is accused of. And it's because we don't condemn that history and those people in the history, because we go, oh, well, that was that time. Which is so crazy to me, because if you actually look into the history, most of them fucking knew. Okay, they knew it wasn't okay to fuck your sister or your cousin. They knew that when we were in caves doing it, because the evidence was right there. I mean, you can't have four or five babies all fucked up like that and be going, oh, okay, I think something is perfectly fine. No, they knew. That's why they would get these, what do they call them? I forgot. It's like basically a waiver from the Pope that says, oh, well, you know, it's okay if you're related. Or it's the same thing when they were 12 and 13 and 14. It's why they wouldn't. Sometimes they would have sex back then at that age, but most times, no, actually, they would just marry at that age. They wouldn't actually indulge in sexual acts unless they were of the same age. If it was a much older guy and a much younger woman, more often than not, yes, of royalty, they would keep you away. No. Stop it. Stop trying to normalize what wasn't even normalized then, just because it happened then or was not condemned the same way we don't condemn it right now. The mountain of evidence on the table, including a teddy bear and a lunchbox, had me in tears. But it's easier to fall into the consistent narrative of racism, because it's always racism. Something OJ's defense used to the extreme, especially when the one cop was so evidently racist. I blame the prosecution. They should have vetted that motherfucker and made sure he was not going to be given the opening he needed, because that trial became all about race and not about the crime in which he was committed. But I digress. We're talking about R. Kelly. Ruckus is talking about his love of white nectar, and it's beginning to discuss Robert, which that's real, because black people, we cannot hang out with niggas for long, if at all. But we know if you have a large family, there's at least one. The minute Dubois is revealed to have a white wife, because it's more about who he is as a person instead of what the person accused of on the trial is being accused of, it was a wrap. Dubois was taking pointers, though, from a minor, showing the court the R. Kelly tape, though it had absolutely no sway on the jury being dismissed, despite how much this really back then should have been a slam dunk. Ruckus denies his own blackness, claiming to have vitiligo. The opposite of what Michael Jackson has, which causes his skin to get darker and blacker, and every year a little bit darker and blacker. He believes black people are ungrateful for how the white man stole us from the jungle and gave us civilization. And now we're causing chaos and voting. It's at this moment that Robert is done. Soon the entire court erupts into a whole music video, until Riley tries to instill some common sense into his people.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
He said every time a black man gets arrested doesn't make him Nelson Mandela. Or every black man that gets arrested is a Nelson Mandela. Yes, the government conspires to put a lot of innocent black men in jail. But when it's clear that a motherfucker is guilty, we need to let him go. Send his ass to prison. What happened to standards? You want to help him? Get him some fucking counseling. Hide the camcorder. Introduce him to older women. But don't pretend that the man's a hero. He said it has some goddamn sense. I'm tired of this shit. Of course, he's booed off stage because, one, he interrupted the dancing, and you don't interrupt the dancing, and you can't do battle with ignorance, because you will never win. Unfortunately, when it comes to trying to reason with ignorance, it's because there is no emotional intelligence or even educationally smart enough people to hear what the fuck you're saying. It's very vexing trying to help your people only to wonder why we even bothering. But they are our people, and push come shove, we all we got, and the only ones to help our people escape the niggadom trap. we're the only ones that can help our people escape the Nigga-dom trap. And while it may feel like a losing battle, we're still in the early stages of war. You know, there are some stats that look promising, definitely with the Black female population, you know. But also, it could be a little bit of having the need to leave certain people behind. And while we're never going to abandon thee, yeah, like Robert, sometimes I had to walk the fuck away for a while. Come back and get you. My mind is back in the mood to be able to pick up where we left off in that conversation. It's a really, really good episode. Sad I couldn't get any feedback from the ladies, but hey, life happens. Hopefully they'll be back next episode. If you want to send feedback, once again, blackercouch@gmail.com. If you're wondering why I'm not using the theme song in the introduction, it's because I've been hearing from everywhere under the sun. It has a lot of copyright issues, so I don't want to even dip my toe in that mess. And since I upload this to YouTube, for those who like listening there, I just don't want to fuck with the YouTube gods because they really are the worst. So that is why I have not been using the Boondocks intro music. Until next time, peace, hair grease, and Black and Magic.